This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina wa habibina wa qurrati ayunina Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi afdalu salati wa atamu taslim amma ba'd. So we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him, the Almighty, to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I begin this reminder, this Friday virtual khutbah reminder, by reminding myself, by advising myself firstly, and then all of you all who have tuned in from different parts of the country, from different parts of the world, to bring in a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be conscious of your maker, to be mindful of Allah azza wa jal during every single second of your lives. And this is if you wish to attain victory and success in this world as well as the next. Because this victory, this success is guaranteed. It is assured for the people of taqwa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah An-Naba, in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. Indeed, for al-muttaqoon, the people of taqwa, is mafaza. Mafaza as in victory and success in this world as well as the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. To proceed, we are in the last stretch of this beautiful and noble month, the month of Ramadan. Time has sped past us and we are left with just a few more days. And these days, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, these days are known as Al-Ashrul Awakhir min Shahri Ramadan. The last ten of the month of Ramadan. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates what He wills and He chooses what He wills. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. So Allah is the creator of time. He created the entirety of time. He is above time and He has created time. Time is His creation. So all of the passages of time were created by Allah Azza wa Jal. And from these passages of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose certain passages to be more virtuous, to be more superior over others. When talking about months, the month of Ramadan is known to be the best of months. We are in that particular month. When talking about days, you have the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah as being the best of days. The 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they're known as the best of days. Then when talking about nights, you have the last 10 nights of Ramadan that are known as the best of nights. And from within the last 10 nights of Ramadan, you have one special night that is better than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. It is better than 1,000 months. 83 years and 4 months, subhanAllah. And you know what needs to be highlighted here at this juncture, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that if you coincide with Laylatul Qadr, you are going to get the reward of being in worship equivalent to 1,000 months. And some of us tend to gloss over this reward. See, when you say 1,000 months, let's say even if you were to hypothetically live for 1,000 months, will you spend every single second of those 1,000 months in ibadah, in worship? No, there will be moments of rest. There will be moments of recreational activities, you know. And there are, because obviously we are perpetual sinners and we constantly make mistakes. And this is why it is upon us to keep constantly turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During those 1,000 months, there will no doubt be many moments of heedlessness, many moments where, you know, we will slip and perhaps drift away from Allah Azza wa Jal. But by coinciding with Laylatul Qadr, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you get 1,000 months of pure worship every single second. And this is something that you cannot attain except through Laylatul Qadr. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us all to attain Laylatul Qadr if we have not already attained it. Ameen. Ameen. So when trying to specify one particular night, Laylatul Qadr is the best of nights. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr, as Allah says in the Quran. In Surah Al-Dukhan, what does Allah say? Hamim wal kitab al-mubin inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. That indeed we revealed it, i.e. the Quran, during a layla mubarakah, during a blessed night, i.e. Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. So in terms of nights, Laylatul Qadr is the best of nights. In terms of days, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the best of days. When talking about a week in particular, Friday, the day that you and I, we are seated in right now, this particular day, Friday is known as the best of days. And all of what I'm saying, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In regards to Friday, what does he say? خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ. The best of days in terms of the week upon which the sun has risen is Friday. Is Friday. فيه خلق آدم وفيه أدخل الجنة وفيه أخرج منها. It was on a Friday that our father Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام was created. It was on a Friday that he was taken out of Jannah. And it will be on a Friday that the last hour will be established. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all beautiful endings. Ameen. And may He ease our affairs on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. So now we are in the best 10 nights, and it is upon us, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to strive during these nights as much as possible. See, at the end of the day, each and every one of us, we have our own trials, our own challenges, our own battles. Some of us have health issues that prevent us from, you know, doing a lot. But the beauty of the deen is that if you have the right intentions, you will be rewarded regardless. Let's say you earnestly wish to be up as much as possible worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night. But due to the weakness of your body, due to certain health issues, you're not able to do so. Or let's say, for example, a sister, she is on her menstrual periods during this particular stretch. Now, my dear sister, my dear brother who is going through health issues, my dear sister who is on her cycle, don't feel dejected. Don't think, oh, you know, but then I can't now do anything much. No, subhanAllah. That's the beauty of the deen. The beauty of the deen is that you stand to accrue so much just merely through your intentions. Let's say you intended firmly to make the most out of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, to do this, to do that. But then something were to impede you. As long as, you know, you're not playing around, you know. You shouldn't take the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granted. But in reality, let's say you felt terribly ill and you're not able to stay up. You're feeling very groggy and you're feeling very hazy. But at the inception of the last 10 nights, you had intended firmly, Ya Allah, if you know I have strength, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to read the Quran. I'm going to be in salah. I'm going to make dua. I'm going to do all of these things. But now you're being prevented. The beauty of the deen is through your lofty intentions, you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward us manifold, manifold. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to purify our intentions. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to bring in lofty, lofty intentions. Ameen. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, with regards to placing your intentions, you place lofty intentions. And now when talking about the last 10 nights and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, we see, for example, the hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions the hadith recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam kana idha dakhala al-ashru ahya al-layl wa ayqadha ahlahu wa shadda mi'zarahu wujad. So he sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when the last 10 would arrive, he would revive the night. He would wake up his family members, you know, and he would tighten his lower garment. As in, you see, when you are about to do something strenuous, when you are about to, you know, put in some grit, and when you want to work hard, when there's going to be a lot of elbow grease, you know, you're going to really work hard, you wouldn't want your garments to be hanging loose. But instead, you would tighten your garments. You would ensure that your garments are all tightened before you set out on this task. So this is the metaphor that has been captured in this particular hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ took the last 10 very seriously. Very seriously, to do as many good deeds as possible. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So similarly, our mindset should be that we are going to do as much as possible during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And in terms of doing as much as possible, you must attempt to alternate with your good deeds. See, the other day I posted a video with regards to the differences between Qiyamul Layl, between At-Tarawih and Tahajjud. I'm obviously not going to get into that discussion right now, because you can go and check out the video. It's up on my YouTube channel. But we're just going to pick and discuss the definition of Qiyamul Layl a tad bit. Qiyamul Layl, the definition is that it encompasses and comprises of any act of worship that is performed at night. So it includes At-Tarawih, it includes At-Tahajjud, it includes standing up in Salah. Qiyam stems from Qama in the Arabic language, which is to stand, to revive the night, in other words. It includes the reading of the Quran. It includes making dua. It includes the study of the Quran, reflecting on the Quran, tadabbur over the Quran. It includes dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have all these deeds. It includes sadaqah, giving out charity. It includes all these deeds. And an intelligent believer, just as how they say, you know, the good investment advice is not to put all of your eggs in one basket. You know, they would go on to cite experts like Warren Buffett and all these other individuals saying that you're not supposed to put all of your eggs in one basket. So what about in regards to your investment of Al-Akhirah? If that is good advice with regards to your investments in dunya, not to put all of your eggs in one basket, diversify your investments. Don't put your money, all of your money in one place. Maybe put it in real estate, put it in this investment, put it in that investment. So people with different types of expertise would come out and tell you to, you know, diversify your wealth. Maybe put a little bit in precious metals, put a little bit in this, put a little bit in that. So with regards to investment advice related to Al-Akhirah, diversify your investments. See, this is the opportunity to plant seeds, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So diversify your investments so that you will, inshallah ta'ala, reap lofty rewards in Al-Akhirah. For example, think of this hack. Think of this hack. Now we know that Laylatul Qadr. Okay, when I say hack, I mean think of this tip, if you will, alright? We know Laylatul Qadr is hidden within the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Why is it hidden? It is from the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have the narrations that at one juncture, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually came out to inform us with regards to the specific date as to when Laylatul Qadr will fall. And then what happens? Two people were quarreling. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes on to say, I came to inform you all, but that knowledge has been taken away now. And perhaps it is for some good. Perhaps it is for some good. And, you know, we have understandings being put forth as you analyze the hadith, that there are certain things that are hidden from us, and it is for our own good. It is for our own good. Such as, now see, on Fridays, you have this special hour known as Sa'atul Istijaba. And at this juncture, I'd like to remind myself and then all of you all to seize this hour, especially given that we are fasting, especially given that we are in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Okay, so given all these features, try to make as much dua as possible. Now, this particular window of time, Sa'atul Istijaba, is hidden. There are some scholars who are of the view that it is the time from when the khatib, the imam, climbs on top of the mimbar, the pulpit, until he gets down. That entire time frame is the time frame when you're supposed to make as much dua as possible. And by the way, the virtue in regards to this time frame is that if your dua coincides with this time frame, your dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mind-boggling, right? There are other scholars who would opine that it is the time, that short window where the imam sits down between the two sermons. It's a very short window. He sits down and then he gets up. That tiny time frame is the time when your du'as are going to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are others like Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and others who strongly advocate that it is the last hour of Friday. i.e. approximately 1 hour before sunset, before Maghrib. Now, what would the intelligent believer do, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam? He will look at seizing all these opportunities, and throughout the day, he'll keep reminding himself at periodical junctions to make a dua. At the very least, because you're obviously caught up with other things and you can't go on to make a list of dua at different periods, what you can do is you can choose a couple of du'as. Du'as that are concise but have lofty requests. Lofty requests sandwiched in them, infused in them. For example, we have the hadith that tells us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would excessively make this du'a. And what is that du'a? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, do not underestimate the power, the depth, and the gravity of this dua. You know, some of us, like parrots, we just repeat it. It just rolls off our tongues. We don't even for a moment ponder, contemplate, or reflect on the power of the dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O our Lord, grant us goodness in this world. Okay? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا, goodness in the hereafter, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Let me explain very quickly. You know, when you say goodness in this world, my dear brother, my dear sister, it encompasses every form of goodness imaginable. Why? Because you're saying it in this open, generic way. You're not specifying the type of goodness. Ya Allah, give me goodness in every form and in every way. So my dear brother, my dear sister, if you were to think of something as being good, then you have included that in your dua. And by default, let's think of the good things that human beings, that you and I, we are generally striving for. Let's take, for example, what? Okay, let's say a good job, a good salary, a good spouse, good children, a good family, social standing, if you will, a good address, good this, good that, good vehicle, good employees, good employer, good company, good friends, good health, wealth, every form of goodness imaginable. And what is the primary form of goodness? Iman, faith, the deen. Every form of goodness from that, from top to bottom, you've included in the dua. And then in al-akhirah goodness, starting off with the pleasure of Allah, and then Jannah, and then every form of goodness that is included in al-akhirah. And you're capping off the dua, sealing it off, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, protect us from the torment of the fire of Jahannam. You see what a powerful dua this is? And how long is it going to take you to utter? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Did it take you seconds? I mean, did it take you even a minute? Yet you have asked such a lofty request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just imagine, my dear brother, my dear sister, if your dua were to coincide with Sa'atul Istijaba, just imagine you were making it from morning, and if it were decreed to be that the last hour of Friday is Sa'atul Istijaba today. So today, just before iftar, okay, you're seated for iftar, and you raise your hands. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And if the dua were to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going to be the most fortunate of individuals. The most fortunate of individuals. Allahu Akbar. You're going to be the most fortunate of individuals. So similarly, now coming back to that initial tip that I wanted to mention. You see, you have the last 10 nights, right? Go on to make your du'as during the last 10 nights, but make it a habit not to miss رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ every night. Starting off now, if you're looking at your du'a list, primarily you have to put the first du'a, I would say, in terms of importance, because we have explicit hadith to illustrate to the effect. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if I know that a particular night is going to be Laylatul Qadr. Okay. In other words, if I coincide with Laylatul Qadr, okay, knowingly or unknowingly, what dua do I make? Along the lines of these words, the narration goes, yeah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches her, Allahumma innaka afuvun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuv. Oh Allah, you're the most forgiving, تحب العفو and you love to forgive. فاعفو عني, forgive me, overlook my mistakes and pardon me. So bring in this list where you make that dua. You include ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة every single night, by the way. Alright. So what does that equate? If during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, every single night you make these du'as. Let's say you choose 10 du'as. Please go on to my Instagram page. I think it was last evening I shared a list of du'as. Mostly Rabbana from the Quran. I've included Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. I've included Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. So go on to make these du'as. Choose about 10 du'as and go on to make these du'as during the last 10 nights, every single night. So what would be the result? If you make the du'as every single night, is there a possibility for you to miss Laylatul Qadr? No possibility. See, whether you stay up the entire night or a big portion of the night in ibadah, don't miss making these 10 du'as every night. So my point is, if you make Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar every single night. If you pray, oh Allah, forgive me every single night, you are bound to coincide with Laylatul Qadr. Your dua is bound to coincide with Laylatul Qadr. It's going to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the beauty. Subhanallah. That is the beauty. Similarly, think of charity. Every single night, now subhanallah, you see, in the past, you would have to step out. Okay, you'd have to step out and maybe go find someone to give charity. Today, Allah has made it so, so easy for us. Think about it. You have online bank transfers. You have all these features and tools at your fingertips. You know, in your mobile, you have apps to help you do that. So much to the extent that you could literally just call your bank and tell the bank, look, these 10 days, I want X amount at this time to be transferred to this project, this charity initiative. So perhaps you could reach out to the charity that you generally work with. All right? And they will have a variety of projects. See, it doesn't mean that the funds have to be utilized then and there during that night itself. You know, let's say, for example, during one particular night, you are donating towards a water project. Now, it doesn't mean that the water project needs to be built on that particular night. For you, because you have given out the money, you're going to be rewarded, inshallah, because of your intention and giving out the money. So you don't even have to get out of your home. And because of the COVID situation, it is best that you stay at home. In most places, in most parts of the world, they're still in partial lockdown, if you will. And some parts are going through very serious times. Like, for example, in India, we pray for our brothers and sisters in India. May Allah ease their affairs and take them all back to normalcy soon. Ameen. And similarly, in my own country, you have many places being isolated and you know, being put into lockdown. Subhanallah. So it's very important to adhere to the guidelines put forth by the authorities, by your medical authorities, and stay at home. Stay safe. Stay at home. And still, by staying at home, you need not worry. You can still stand to accrue colossal rewards. All you have to do is, like I said, for example, automate your sadaqah, where an X amount. Let's say, for example, I'm just saying, where you say $10, 1,000 rupees every night towards a project. Now, what's going to happen? Inevitably, one of those donations will coincide with Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. And what happens then, my dear brothers in Islam? You need to multiply it by 1,000 months. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Do the math. Do the math. Calculate the days. Multiply it by the months. And you will arrive at a colossal total. And on top of that, it is subject to further generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when talking about the virtues of a Muslim, when a Muslim performs a good deed, he stands the chance, subject to the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stands chance for the deed to be multiplied anywhere from 10 to 700 times. Subhanallah. And from the mercy of Allah, when he performs, when he commits a sin, when he perpetrates and commits a sin, it's only recorded once. But a good deed, anywhere from 10 to 700 times, ila sab'i mi'ati dhi'f. 700 times it stands to be multiplied. And on top of that, you have the 1,000 months of Laylatul Qadr. Let's say you make it a habit to read a certain passage of the Quran, let's say a few surahs, maybe a juz every night. Multiply that across 1,000 months. Because what's going to happen? One of those recitations will coincide with Laylatul Qadr. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is why it is from the wisdoms of Allah Azza wa Jal that Laylatul Qadr is hidden. Just like Sa'atul Istijaba is hidden, Laylatul Qadr is hidden. When you are going to pass away from this world is hidden. When the day of Qiyamah is going to be established is hidden. Why? Because all these things have been hidden so that we strive hard. Just imagine if someone were to know when they are going to die. If they have a date, 2030, on this date you're going to die. What do you think that person will do? Do you think he's going to do any good deeds? He's going to relax. He's going to procrastinate. Despite not knowing when we are going to die, we still procrastinate. Okay, then if you were to know when exactly you're going to die, you will procrastinate until the last minute. And during the last minute, you'll try to do as many good deeds as possible. So it is from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal that these matters have been hidden from our knowledge so that we constantly and regularly strive to please Allah, strive to do good deeds, strive as much as possible. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the short reminder that I wanted to share with you all. Use the last 10 nights to do as many good deeds as possible. Work hard towards seeking the forgiveness of Allah, setting the record straight with the creation of Allah as well. There may be people that you have hurt. There may be people that you have, you know, infringed upon their rights. There may be people that you have broken their hearts. There may be individuals that you're finding difficult to forgive. Let go of all of the toxicity. You may have wronged others and others may have wronged you. That is the reality of this world. You may have wronged others, others may have wronged you. If others have wronged you, my dear brother, my dear sister, you are safe. Why? Because they are at fault and they'll have to deal with that matter if they don't set the record straight on the day of Qiyamah. But if you have wronged others, you need to be extremely, extremely careful. And you need to put the record straight because this is hukukul ibad. So use the last 10 nights, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to get closer to Allah, to set the record straight with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. If you have wronged others, seek their forgiveness and you forgive. Then, my dear brother, my dear sister, you transcend into this plane, into this realm of feeling light, no burdens. You don't hold any grudges towards anybody. No hatred towards anybody. You become this light and carefree human being like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A positive individual, so positive, so full of light that when people would come into his company, they would be immediately impacted by his aura of purity. So we say we love him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? May my mother, my father and myself be ransomed and sacrificed for him. We love him. And we are striving to emulate him, yes? So when emulating him, it's not only his outwardly appearance that you're supposed to emulate. It's the outwardly and the inwardly. Today we are hell-bent and so focused on the outwardly that we tend to completely discount and dismiss the inwardly. See, they both go hand in hand. You can't say, I'm only going to focus on the inwardly and discount the outwardly. No, it's the outwardly and the inwardly. That is truly following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yeah, it can be a work in progress. You don't have to, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not expected that you overnight. I mean, if you can, well and good. But otherwise, it can be a work in progress. You know, baby steps at least towards emulating him in a holistic way, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us firmly intend to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam inwardly and outwardly as much as possible. And then let's firmly intend to make the most out of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Let us firmly intend to do as many good deeds as possible and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to purify our hearts. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to become individuals who only share goodness. We don't share evil. Be it on social media, be it in real life. We only share messages of positivity and goodness. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless each and every one of us. With that, I conclude this reminder. May He help us to attain Laylatul Qadr if we haven't already attained it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as how He united us across all these platforms, may He unite us in the beautiful and lofty gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi, rabbil alameen, jazakumullahu khaira, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.